Amira Zayz Bal Adam. This Mida comes to a person happiness. Machmas Raif Shab Valiba. Because of abundance of tranquility. Valiba in his heart. Whatever tranquility is. Believe Pegara without any bad occurrence. Pega means like to meet up with something. Without having any bad occurrence. I'll continue, and this is a very unusual, it's very unusual statement here. So a person that reaches his taiva, a person that gets whatever he wants, and nothing bad happens, nothing happens that makes him sad. Then he'll be happy constantly. The irupana of his face will shine. This is by Mavik. His face will shine. I don't know the difference. The gufai bari, he'll be healthy. So you see that happiness affects a person's health. Ain ziknam haras lava alav, and old age will not jump on him. Old age won't jump on him. What does that mean? Old age won't jump on him. Either way, a person's going to become old. If you're happy, you'll also become old. It doesn't make the days or years go backwards. But you see here that it means that old age is not just a vart in actual time. You see from Malchus Tzedekim that the way he calls old age, meaning as you could see, a 50-year-old who goes through tremendous difficulties could have the elderness of a 75-year-old. I don't know if that means necessarily he's going to die younger, though he does say that affects his health. But also, it could mean just in his attitude. He'll be a cranky old man at 45. If he's not a happy person. So the old age will jump on him. K'may shenemar, as it says, Lev sameach yetiv geya, a happy heart. What I wrote down here? Lev sameach yetiv geya. David, you looked this up, and I don't know what I wrote down. Some Samayach of Gaya. Okay, whatever that means. Because I can't read what I wrote. Okay, let's stop here for a second. Alright? By the way, this is a very unusual thing to write over here. I call it strange, alright? To heal?
To cure?
Okay, so a happy heart, Yetiv Geya, will bring, that's what I wrote here, bring remedy, maybe I wrote. Alright, it'll make the person healthier. Okay, do any of you realize why this Malchus Tzedekim is absolutely strange? Look what he says here. He says, what's happiness? Happiness, you expect him to start writing, Ezo Asher Smeach, what's happiness? Happiness comes to a person when he has a lot of tranquility and nothing bad happens, and he always gets what he wants, nothing bad happens, and then he'll always be happy. That's how you define happiness. That makes it really, something makes us something that we want to aim for, right? Happiness is everything goes your way, nothing bad happens, you're always calm, you always have tranquility, and then you'll always be happy, and everything will be great. Well, maybe if you could, control all of life's events and arrange it as such that nothing bad will happen. You'll always have as much money as you want, you'll always have as many cars as you want, you'll always have this everything you want, you'll always be healthy, your kids, everything will go your way, and then you'll be happy. So maybe we should give up on Shara Simcha now. What is the Malchus Tzedekim telling us here by saying that, oh, what's happiness? When everything goes your way and nothing bad happens that makes you sad, you'll always be happy, of course. So I think what he's saying is, and also, he doesn't really discuss he doesn't discuss so much what makes a person happy. He says more the removal of the negatives, the removal of of anything bad happening, the removal of something sad happening. So I think perhaps what the Ruach HaZikim is saying is as follows. A little child is usually, at least under proper treatment, a child is very happy. They're laughing and they're so happy. Children are so happy. And when the children get older, most of them, they're not so happy. So, what is it that makes children happy? And what is it that makes adults unhappy? They're too dumb to realize that life is, you know, dreary and depressing, so they're still happy because they're naive. And what makes a child happy? Is a pshat, yesh lach, or what makes a kid happy? Makes happy because the kid's always getting things he wants? That's what makes him happy? Or it seems to me that a kid is naturally happy. Well, you take away his lollipop, he's sad. But if you just let a kid out, if you just let a kid out, and nothing's bothering him, he doesn't have a dirty diaper, and no one's taking away his toys, he just seems to be, you know, happy running around, and he's happy. So I think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm guessing here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us happy. If a person, then if you take away, remove everything, the person's happy. Person's happy. It's the things around the person that take away from his happiness and make him sad. A person really doesn't have to look. A person should look to make things happy. But that's only because he's trying to neutralize the things that are making him sad. If a guy, you know, his leg hurts, say, don't be sad. The rest of your body is working quite well. If an older person is losing his teeth, saying, don't be sad, you still can walk, you're still not carrying a cane. So you're trying to neutralize the negatives. But I think a person really is happy, and it's the negatives that make a person sad. And one of the most important ways to work on happiness, and that's what maybe he's saying, is learning how to deal with negatives. He tells us, oh, happiness is when nothing happens that makes you sad. Okay, so you can't control life, but the answer is you could control. You can control how things affect you and whether things make you sad. It's all in a person's outlook, a person's attitude, how a person looks at things. You know, it's all telling how a person looks at things. A person has to learn, it's a very difficult thing, a person has to learn, you know, how to deal with something doesn't go his way. And if a person learns how to deal with things that don't go his way, then he'll be much happier when things do go his way. Alright, let's discuss the Mishnah. In Ezo Asher Sameach Bechalko. Ezo Asher Sameach Bechalko. Who's a rich person, someone that's happy that he has? So, I'm going to say over Vart, I've said this over before. What's the Vart? Akasha. What does it mean who's a wealthy person, someone that's happy with what he has? A person that's happy with what he has is not wealthy. A person that's happy with what he has is happy. A person that's wealthy is a person that has $1 million. Right? Who is wealthy? If you would point to someone that was happy, you wouldn't tell me he's wealthy. Tell me he's happy. So what does the Mishnah mean? Who is wealthy? Someone that's happy with what he has. So it said, shot and solves. So if a person's very smart. A person has an IQ. What's IQ? What's a high IQ? 165? Okay. Person has an IQ of 168. He passed all these. Person has an IQ of 168, right? He's very smart. So, it's not your IQ is 165? So, a person's IQ is 168, right? So let's say the guy uses. Let's say the guy is very, very smart, and he spends his whole life trying to figure out the best way to catch mice. You know that trap in the that room over there. Well, you should know. There was this guy, you know, IQ of 168. He figured out. It wasn't so simple. I think he's so posh. He figured out. You know, how to come out with this mouse trap. So now, what do you think? Is this guy brilliant or not brilliant? What? So you could say he's brilliant, like Tovia and Daniel. He's brilliant, but he's not using his head properly. I would say he's not brilliant. He's a fool. What makes him brilliant? Because he has 168 IQ. That means he had the potential. Mice is a fool. Mice is foolish. He's foolish. Mice is foolish. There's nothing wrong with calling this person stupid. But he has 168 IQ. I don't care. He's stupid.
What's wrong with building mousetrap?
It's great. It's great. But if you have 168 IQ, maybe you should try to find something else to do. The Gemara says in the Dharm, Kol Misha Im Bay Deya, any person that has no Deya, it's Asr L'Rachim Lov. It's forbidden to have mercy on him. The Gemara says, anyone that doesn't have Deya, it's Asr to have mercy on him. So, Pashup Shah, the Gemara sounds to be very cruel. The person that doesn't have Das, it's Asr to have mercy on him. The person is, Nebuch, mentally deficient, mentally retarded, and can't have mercy on him. Because call me shame, but they also the rachel. Many persons doesn't have das, it's also have mercy on him. That's what the Gemara is saying. Of course not. Very good. The Gemara is Dharma Daf Mem. So it could be the pshat of the Gemara is the Gemara doesn't mean anyone that doesn't have natural raw intelligence. It means a person that doesn't have das means he had the raw materials, but he didn't apply it. He didn't apply it properly. He didn't apply his das properly. If a person wastes his brains, it's also the rachim love. That's a person that's also the rachim love. Not a person that mentally is not so intelligent. By the way, if a guy has a IQ of 100 and how many? I don't know what I'm saying. I'm going to be talking about rats. A person has an IQ of 100, 130, whatever it is, and he works, and he learns, and he's productive. He's a lot smarter than the person with 168 IQ building mousetraps. That's what I think. Okay, let's go further. So now if a person, let's say a person's wealthy, let's say he has $1 million, but he accidentally put it in his vault, and he accidentally lost his key. And the only way to get into his vault was a key. It's impossible to break in, unless you burn it down along with the money. So is this person wealthy or not wealthy? So you say, well, he's wealthy because he has $1 million, but he practically can't use it. So he's not wealthy, right? Agree? Fine. That's a pshat. The pshat in the Mishnah is Ezo Asher, a person that's wealthy. If you have $1 million, but doesn't make you happy, you buy your cars, you buy your yachts, you buy a nice house, but you're not happy with it. You're just complaining, and this, you're worrying about this, you're worrying about that, you're worrying about that, this is not perfect, and this is not right, and I need a bigger house, I need this, I need that, and you're not happy. So what's the money worth? You're not using the money. The money's locked up. You're not using it. You're not using the money. Physically, it looks like you're putting it places, but it's just as good as flushing it down the toilet. You're not using it. Ezo Asher, your wealth depends on how much you tap into your money. If you have $100 and you know how to invest it, then you're a lot richer than a millionaire who invested, you know, in a bad stock. So the key to life is not how much you have. The Mishnah is saying the key to life is not how much you have. The key to life is how much investment, how much you know, how you know how to use what you have. How do you use your money? How are you rich? How do you use your money? You use your money, you just have to know how to use it. It's a mafla chav. To be happy with what you have. To be happy with what you have. That's something that a person has to always work on. To be happy with what he has. It means appreciating. A person has to appreciate everything he has. If a person doesn't appreciate what he has, then he's never going to be happy. The more a person appreciates what he has, the less he needs, and the happier he is. If a guy appreciates the fact that he's healthy and he's alive, if he appreciates that, and that's a high level. That's a high level for us maybe. Even though Chazal, every morning we make brachas, you know. Hopefully some of you have kavanah. I definitely don't. But every morning we say brachas, right? Hashem Atzal Sabavina, we say Shalosh Sani Gai, Shalosh Sani Aved, Shalosh Sani Isha, Pekeach Ibrim, right? Malveh Sharumim, Matir Asur. We thank Hashem every day for having clothing, for having eyesight, for walking. We thank Hashem for all these things. Do we really thank Hashem for these things or not? Are we really thanking Hashem for these things? Chazal know what we owe HaKadosh Baruch for everything we have. If a person would make a bracha every morning and say, thank you HaKadosh Baruch for giving me eyesight, thank Hashem for clothing, and have kavana and mean it, then he's a happy person now. He's got all these wonderful things. Oh, today, oh, my parents didn't buy me a new suit. Oh, his suit is more expensive. But Baruch Hashem, I have a suit. Baruch Hashem, forget a suit. Baruch Hashem, I have eyes, ears. The more a person appreciates what he has, back to basics, the less he needs. And if a person says, and there are people that say that, if a person says, well, you know, listen, I'm, you know, people, there are people, many people, wealthy people, Bakrim that want to be wealthy, they say, listen, I'm not looking to be a multimillionaire. I think I just need about a million. If I just have a million, if I just have a really nice, you know, a really, really nice house, you know, like a million dollar house, and I have, you know, I don't need a Ferrari. A Lexus is enough. I'm not such a brat. If I have a Lexus, and I have this, and I have that, he knows exactly what he wants, and then he'll be a happy person. There are people that have the attitude. I can't sit and call because I can't live such a tight lifestyle. Not because I won't have any money to give the kids food, but I can't handle a tight, you know, lifestyle. If a person says that, I can tell you right now, it's not true. It's totally not true. If a person needs a certain amount to be happy, then when he gets there, he will only then realize that he's really not happy. And he's probably going to want more, or he's just not going to be happy with what he has. There's no such thing as being happy on a certain thing. That's all in your, it's all in your mind. It's a weak point. I'll be happy with this, this, and that. There's no such people.
So what does Orcha Siddiqim say?
Oh, so what's Orcha Siddiqim is saying? A very big aside here. Very good, thank you. Orcha Siddiqim says that who's a person that's going to be happy? Someone that reaches this title. So the Orcha Siddiqim is not suggesting to us that, oh, you want to be happy, get your taiva, and never, and you know, make sure you get your taiva. That's not what Orcha Siddiqim is saying, get your taiva. Because Orcha Siddiqim is pashut. If he says get your taiva, so we could think the Orcha Siddiqim means, but he knows we're smarter than that, we'll say, oh, Orcha Siddiqim suggesting, make sure if you want a Lexus, get a Lexus. Make sure if you want a Jaguar, get a Jaguar. Make sure if you need a nice house, get your nice house. Make sure you get everything you want, and then you'll be happy. No, because that's foolish. There's no such person in the world. Because you'll never reach your taiva. You'll just get it, and then you want more because, you know, now you have it, so now you realize what's a big deal. You ever have, that's always a trick of the Yitzhar. What's it called? The word is, it's a very good word for the Yitzhar's trick. Obsession. The Yitzhar's trick many times is obsession. How many times have you had a Yitzhar, a really, really bad Yitzhar for something? You were obsessed with getting something, and then once you got it, it's like, oh, you know, what's the big deal? You're not happy. How many times, oh, if I just get that, I'll be happy. You're obsessed with a certain thing, and as soon as you get it, it's like you're not happy with it. That's the Yitzhar's whole big trick. The Yitzhar makes you, like, think, imagination, that this is so important, and you get obsessed. It's really imagination. It's really not going to give you what you want. That's what happens with all these things. The only way a person can be a person that's masik tavasai, that reaches this taiva, the only way is if a person doesn't work on outside. He works on himself. If a person works on himself, on him, then it's possible for us to reach his time. If a person works on himself, that, by the way, we don't have to start working on yourself. Okay, I'm happy I have clothing, so I'm happy I have bread, so I don't need cream cheese on my bagel. I can eat the bagel plain. Well, that's a high madriga. I'm not talking that high. Talking just wherever a person is. If a person is has a wealthier family and has a little bit more things, person is a little poorer, wherever a person is now, which means you're used to it. Everything's what you're used to. So just try to stay where you are and appreciate everything you do have. Person has a nice suit. I have a nice suit. Person would just try to focus in on appreciating what he has. If a person works on appreciating what he has, he'll be able to minimize his taivas, and then he'll be able to reach his taiva, and then he'll be happy. It's not going to come by running after. It's going to come by working on yourself that you need less. You need less. The Rashiva once said this. Shiva once told us, he's a Rebbe in 12th grade, he once told us that, said, who's happier? So a person that likes chicken, or a person that likes, spares. Who's happy? Person likes chicken or person likes spares? Who's a happy person? They both like it very much. Who's happy? Person likes chicken or person likes spares? So the answer is, so first of all, it doesn't make a difference. If that's what makes you happy, chicken, then you're just as happy as a person likes spares, right? But there's an advantage of liking chicken. Because chicken's cheap. So the person worked, if we work on ourselves, that we're happy with, I'm going to say like this, we're happy with the little things. No, we're totally off the rock. We're happy with the little things. You hear this? We're happy with the little things. You have to be happy with the little things. You got to be happy with the little things, like your eyesight and your clothing and your ability and your health. You have to be happy with the little things. You know, like the big things, like getting the cars. You know, those things you gotta try to not to. So that's the attitude that we have. You know, because why is it that way? The answer is obvious. Because I've done this already, right? This is the spoiled child, you know, theory. Whatever a person gets used to, that becomes what he takes for granted. Since Baruch Hashem, a person can see, a person is healthy, so then a person takes it for granted. So that's nothing special. It's nothing special, of course. A kid that grows up in a wealthy home, and he has his own room, and he has his own this, and he has his own that, and he has his own car, he's not happy with that, of course. If you take away the car from him, if you take away the stuff from him, then he's all depressed, then he's all upset. It's called taking for granted. Whatever a person takes for granted will never make him happy. Whatever you take for granted doesn't make you happy. If a person's poor, so if you give him anything more than he's used to, he's happy. Whatever you take for granted does not make you happy. So, yeah, every person basically has his box that he takes for granted because he's used to it. The answer is not to look outside the box and try to find things that are outside the box. If you're a millionaire and you're used to it, you take it for granted, so let me find something else outside the box. Let me find a nice boat that I want to buy a boat, I want to fly an airplane, because it's outside my box of things I take for granted. That's not the way to do it. Because first of all, by the way, the person's just going to extend his box. He's not going to get anywhere. What a person has to do is go inside himself, inside the box, and appreciate everything that's inside that you have. And the more a person does that, the more a person actually can make himself smaller. Make his box smaller, he'll need less, and he'll be happier with everything else outside of it. Alright, we'll continue. So, we were saying 2 days ago that a person has to make his box small, alright? So, you know what that means?
No.
Well, what it means to me is that if a person has high expectations, and a person, you know, feels that he has to have this, and he has to have that, so he's got a very big box, and And anything within that box will not make him happy because he needs it. Anything that you need, anything feels necessity, doesn't really make you happy. So anything in that box won't make him happy. And he's just going to have to try harder to get things outside that box, which is going to cost him a lot of time and energy. And even if he gets those things outside the box, it won't make him happy because by the nature of that type of person, it will just become very shortly after a few days, after a few minutes, maybe a few seconds, will become part of his box. His box will just get bigger and he'll never be happy. That's a pshat. Chazal say if a person has 100, he wants 200, because the pshat is, wherever you are, you want more. So if you have a little box, you want to have a bigger, you want more. But as soon as you get more, then your box gets bigger, so you need more. So if a person has 100, person wants 100, as soon as he gets 100, he wants 200, because once he has 100, that becomes his standard, and then he needs more to get more than I expect, more than I have. So what's our job? His job is to focus on trying to lower, make smaller his box.
Is this only in Gashmis also?
It's a very good question. We're talking about Gashmis now. Ruchnius is a different story. We'll discuss Ruchnius, but maybe. But that's Gashmis, alright? So first is to try to make his demand smaller. Again, even if a person, I'm not discussing even where a person even has to cut himself off of things that he's used to getting. But just to try to focus in on, wow, I'm lucky I got this. Other people don't have that. In other words, this is outside really what I deserve to get. This is outside really what I should be getting. Wow, person has some good geschmack of stuff. He should appreciate it, enjoy it. If not, he's blowing it. Ruchnius is a different story, since David asked. Ruchnius is a different story. We obviously can't say that when it comes to Ruchnius, that a person should be happy, and he shouldn't need more than X amount. Because by saying that, you're sort of person's, all right, you should be happy that you only, learned two black gemara. It's a wonderful thing, but you should be happy that you shouldn't want more. That we can say. But on the other hand, it is very important for a person. Rabbi Kalish mentioned it in Shmuz a while back. The klal of Eza Asher Tamei Fakalko applies to Ruchnius also. That a person has to be happy. It doesn't mean a person is completely satisfied that he doesn't want more. And I'll explain a little bit. A person has to be happy with what he has, but he has to want more. I'll give you a mashal. It's not a good mashal because I'm coming to Gashmis, but if someone comes over and says, I want to buy you ice cream. So he takes you to the store and he buys you a cone and he gives you a scoop of ice cream. So you're so excited that the person, you'll say, I wanted sprinkles. The guy's not paying for sprinkles, but the guy's not paying for sprinkles, extra 10 cents. He's not giving you two scoops, which is $14, but he's giving you a scoop of ice cream. You're really excited, right? And so someone says, are you happy with your ice cream? Yeah, I'm very excited, I'm very happy, I'm so happy. She says, do you want another scoop? Well, I'll buy you another scoop. Says, yeah, sure. I said, what? I thought you were happy with the first scoop. I said, of course I'm happy with the first scoop. But because I like the first scoop so much, I want to have more. With Ruchnius, the trick is if you enjoy, if your person appreciates the Ruchnius he has, and he's happy with it, because he enjoys it, and the person realizes how lucky he is, the person looks at a mitzvah as, person looks at his mitzvah as $100. Halavai, a person looked at his mitzvah as $100. The mitzvah is priceless. The mitzvah is worth more than $1 million. Oh, also, very excellent answer. So, I'm starting. I didn't get finished here. But yeah. No, it's good. I want you to answer. So that's one area. In other words, Ruchni is you have to enjoy it. You have to be happy to appreciate it. You have a mitzvah. You have to appreciate it. Well, we should stop now for a moment of silence. We should stop now and think about the fact how lucky we are that we just, I don't want to vato, but part of Musa said, just think now that how lucky we are that we learned 5 minutes of Musa. Yeah, even though I'm talking, 5 minutes of Musa. Think about how lucky we are, how much sva we're going to get for learning 5 minutes of Musa. More than anything else, more than anything else in the whole world. I feel better. So person, now, does that tell me, all right, let's close the Musa farm because we just got, close the books, because we just got Tzar. Besides the fact that if we're Mavato, we'll respond to that too. But besides that, does that mean we should close the books? Of course not, because I want more. So Frek Meir Simcha, but I'm using ice cream as a comparison. So why by Gashmis, what's the difference between Gashmis and Ruchnis then? The difference is that Ruchnius, the person's satisfaction is based on the greatness of either the geschmack of doing the mitzvah, and on a simpler level, for me at least, person appreciates the fact that he's zeichet to do a mitzvah. It's a reality, it's the MS, that you're lucky, that you're so lucky that you did a mitzvah, that you did something real. Gashmius, no matter how much we think, you know, we want the ice cream, it's not a real satisfaction. There's no lasting satisfaction in eating ice cream. There's no lasting satisfaction in having $1 million either. Because it's not real, because there's nothing really valuable there, as much as you want $1 million, as much as you want your Lexus, about Raya. If a person really wants to save up money to buy a Lexus, and he saves up, he works in the summers, and he's 18 years old, he doesn't have a family, he wants to buy a Lexus, he works really hard, he saves up all his money, he puts all his money since he's 10 years old that he got for his birthday present in his piggy bank, and he buys himself, he works in the summers, he does jobs, thing. He buys himself a Lexus. How long do you think he's going to be happy with that Lexus? I don't know. Whatever. Not too long. It's not going to give him happiness. I'll tell you. He's not going to be walking around the whole day, thinking around all day. It's not going to last too long. So he's not going to be happy. It's not going to give him happiness. Because there's nothing really real. There's nothing really real satisfaction in having the Lexus. It's all just imagination. It's all, I don't know what it is, but it's not reality. It's not real satisfaction. So you can't be happy with $100. It's not shy. It's not really possible for a person to really be satisfied with money. There's nothing in money that should provide that satisfaction. So your imagination tells you you need it, you want it, I'll be so happy if I have it. And then once you have it, reality kicks in. You have it. What's the big deal? Imagine there's an imaginary there's a projection screen, you know, projects in the middle of a room an imaginary monster. Yeah. So you start getting yourself prepared, and you gotta take out your weapons, and you gotta fight this seven arm monster. You go over with a knife and you stab it into it, and nothing's there. That's Gashmius. There's nothing really there. So yeah, but you gotta get ready and you get this, you got that. But once you get there, you realize there's nothing there. It'll only take you a few minutes. It'll only take you a few days. It'll take you a few weeks. But Ruchnis is real. So when you get there, you'll enjoy it. And you'll be happy about it. And then you'll want more. Now, it's a tricky balance. You understand? You hear?
Enjoying the money also.
What?
Here you say. the enjoyment of learning is not enough. I don't have right now enjoyment from second grade, you know, second grade learning.
That's true.
That's true. It's only a new chaos from what I'm learning now.
It's constantly.
I'm feeling good. Right, but the point is, I'm learning now. Let's say I would stop learning.
First, a good tip back.
In 60 years, what I'm doing now, I'm still in 60 years.
Listen, that's because.
Because I'm getting the new thing. I'm getting.
If a person made an accomplishment in learning, person finished a staff, whatever it is, it gives them a satisfaction. And even by, I want to tell you something. Even if I want to tell you another thing. Of course, if you don't learn the next few months, you won't be happy either. But one thing is true: you're building a happier person. In a few months from now, you might not remember what you learned, but you're just happiness is built into you. It becomes you feel satisfied. There's no, it doesn't. It doesn't build happiness. The guy is not happy. It's not happy.
I agree with you, it just don't happen.
What? Yeah, Ruchni is your habit. And even if you don't remember that, you know, you finish the Masech, then you work really hard. So maybe you're right, you're not so happy about it a few months later because you forgot about this. But you became happier and you didn't lose it. You become a happier person. You become a more satisfied person. Even though you're not even thinking about that thing and you don't remember, you're still build a more satisfied person. That's the way it is. But with a car, it's not the shot. But if you look back and say, someone tell you remember what you did? I'm just giving you a simon, a raya, not the var. The guy would come back to tell you a few months ago, you made a simon on the sechta, you'd feel good, you swell up with pride. After you made your first million, and you're not happy with life, a guy comes over to you and says, you know, you must feel so good about yourself, you made $1 million. The only happiness you'll get from it is because that guy respects you. The happiness you'll get is because that guy holds that you're important because you were able to make $1 million. But you yourself, forget another person reminded you, if you would just think to yourself, guy thinks of, wow, made $1 million. It doesn't give him happiness after a while because he's not a happy, it doesn't make him happy. He didn't do anything that's real, he knows himself. So I made $1 million. So what? So now what? Listen, it's possible for a person to keep himself very busy and just stop, never think. If a person stops and thinks, if any person stops and thinks about life, he's gonna feel depressed. If you go to most people, a frum person that believes in Yiddishkeit, and you start talking, start giving, he doesn't want to hear Musar Shemism, that's for sure. He doesn't want to hear Musar. Why does he want to hear Musar? Because he's going to get depressed. He's going to get depressed that, you know, what am I doing with my life? There's nothing to legitimize. He's wasting his time. Now, by Ruchnius, the truth is, it's a very delicate balance, and I don't know I'm not sure what to do exactly. The delicate balance is as follows. I know people, and I spoke about this in self-confidence, but now I'll show you the other side a little bit. I know people that there are such people, you might know, that no matter how much they learn, no matter how much how well they're doing, they're always feeling, they usually complain, let it out to people around them, but sometimes not, but at least themselves are always like beating up on themselves. Oh, I'm not really doing enough, I should be learning better. And they're walking around Sebrachen, always walking around a little bit broken, that, you know, I'm not doing this enough, I'm not doing that enough. Now, a lot of times I see such people that they actually try harder. Then they say, oh, now I have to learn more, I have to learn even more, I wasted a few minutes here, I was battling for here, and they keep on pushing themselves. The danger is, I don't think that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. A person should walk around, he shouldn't be happy, he should always be beating up on himself, and always feel tzibrachen. I don't know if that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. But on the other hand, then you say, a person should just be happy, you know, the Rebbe, you tell yourself, the Rebbe gives a shmooze, doing so well, I need this, and you know, so I'm doing so well, and the guy, that guy says, I'm doing so well, well, what do I have to, I don't really have to do that much anymore, you know. I'm doing pretty good, so I waste a half an hour every Seder, but I'm learning two hours, so it becomes very tricky, because then you don't have the pressure of fixing up that half an hour, because you're okay where you are. So, I don't have an answer for this. It's a very tricky balance. A person, that's why I think we have Musaf Seder, that's part of it. A person on one hand has to always remind himself that he's got to push forward and he's always got to improve himself. But on the other hand, it's got to be in a gentle way. It's got to be in a gentle way. The person also has to totally be happy and feel good about. You can't overlook if a person's learning, you know, during Seder, and for the person it's hard. So the person can't just say, I'm not learning a full Seder. It's going to kill the person, and it's wrong. The person has to appreciate the fact that, wow, look how well I'm doing. If a guy hasn't learned, a guy that hasn't learned all day long, and he starts learning an hour a day, if he would say, I have to learn a whole day, an hour is nothing, he'll never get anywhere. He'll never end up learning a whole day. If you were trying to build that person, what the smart Rebbe would do is, you see, he learns an hour a day, and you make sure that he knows that he should be very, very proud of himself, and he should be, for learning that hour. And he shouldn't worry about learning the whole day right now. He should be happy with the hour, and then slowly, after he got the hour, work more and more. So, it's a difficult balance. You know, it's a difficult balance. You know, if a person's happy with what he has, there's a risk of complacency. And a person cannot be complacent. Just like with the scoop of ice cream, you want more. A person's got to want more tire. A person wants to be a bigger tamachach. A person wants to be a bigger master. You got to want more and more and more. If you ever become complacent, then you'll stop growing. You'll stop steiging. Many people stop growing. I'll tell you, many people, I'm nervous about myself. Many people stop growing at a certain age. You know, in high school, based medrash, they take tremendous jumps because they go from someone that was not learning at all, was watching TV, wasn't doing much with his life, and all of a sudden they work and they become, and a good, I'm talking about a chashuv, a bacher, he becomes, after a few years, a big masman. You know, he learns during lunch even. He learns even Fridays. He learns Motzei Shabbos. He's a big masman. But then what? So at 21 years old, he's mamash a shtarka masman. He's married. He can't keep all the starim the same as he was a bacher, but he's learning all the starim. He learns, but he can't. And he continues that way. But is he building? Is he building anything? Is he building or he stays the same? If he stays the same, we have a problem. Now, obviously, he'll amass more information because it's more years of learning. But that's not growth. That's not exponential growth. That's not real growth. That a person, every year he learns another mesachta. That's not growth. That's just piling up. Growth is he's learning the mesachta better. He's learning with less batala. It's true. If a person gives himself a good person thinks every minute I learn is but a person has to build himself. Every minute I learn is so important. I can't waste time. I'm just talking about the risk of complacency. I want to give myself a Musaf Shmuz. I'm giving myself a Musaf Shmuz right now.
So give shir.
A person becomes. I'll tell you about myself. My star. Right? Do I go through star without wasting time? No. So now I learn, let's say, most of the Seder. So am I going to go the rest of my life learning most of star? And always, and every time I start thinking about myself, I waste plenty of time. I waste waste plenty of time, whatever, hacking around. You know, I get involved with that, and then I waste time in the middle of Seder. So I say to myself, well, but I learned most of Seder. So Ad Mikan Ve'elech, from 27 years old to 120, I'll always be a most of the Seder guy. 90% Seder guy. That's not good. I should be getting from 90 to 91%, 92%, 93%, 94%, not jumping even. By the way, again, when you're younger, you grow in big jumps. When you're older, you can't grow in bigger jumps because you already covered the big jumps. You're from, you're learning. But then there's the smaller jumps, and the smaller jumps are harder, really. The smaller jumps are actually harder in many ways than the bigger jumps, because they're easier to forget about, and they're harder. They're even harder than the bigger jumps. Big, I don't mean importance. Big, I mean in obvious. A guy becomes from. He makes these big jumps, he's Shomer Shabbos, and this and that, and then he could stop. Oh, he's a from Jew now. No, we gotta always take the next steps, which are smaller steps, but they're maybe even greater steps. A person can go from a 90% Seder to a 91% Seder. That might be greater than a person that goes from a 25% Seder to a 75% Seder. Because that's easier, because the person knows, I gotta learn, I can't just waste my whole Seder. It's the fine lines that a person has to build after he's become, you know, after he's built himself to become a very nice project, nice, you know, Ben Taira, then it's the fine, that's the difference between a person that's become a real special person is the small jumps a person has to make. I'm talking to myself, all right, shkayah.